This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to get up, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. We are the Junkies. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. I am Cakes. You can follow me on Twitter at MoneyMetalCakes. Joined by Jason Bishop. He's right there.
What's up?
What's up, Ricky? Eric Bickle sitting to my right.
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. He's at EB Junkies on various social media platforms. We're not joined by John Paul Flame today.
No.
He is feeling under the weather, so he will not join us. So it's a three junks show.
It was hard for me to get up this morning because I had a stomach issue in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And that was at about 1, 1:30.
You had a rumbly and a tumbly.
The same issue that you always have?
Yeah, it happens every few weeks.
So what did you eat?
Say it's a monthly occurrence.
You had your monthly.
your monthly visitor.
did you tell Teresa it wasn't a good time you having your monthly?
I did notice that you were a little later than usual. I was wondering if there was traffic or something.
No, there was just some issues over at the hotel this morning that I had to be aware of.
Ah, okay.
Be careful of.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway.
Your head's on a swivel downtown. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, I stayed in my car a little bit longer than I usually do.
Ooh, okay. You'll have to give me some details.
So that was one. So it was 1:30, and then I didn't really get back to sleep until 3, and then I slept for an hour and then got up at 4. It was just a terrible
right.
night's sleep.
I had a terrible night's sleep, too. I was waking up literally about every 45 minutes. And I must not have had enough water or something, Cakes. I was telling Cakes this before the show. I had my standard 2 gin and tonics.
Water.
Yeah.
Basically, I was explaining to Cakes what I have come to grips with, what I've realized. Part of the reason why I really like having a couple cocktails before I go, it's my melatonin. It's my, like...
Mm-hmm.
Live stream, you know, in, I don't know how to explain it, but just sort of like, it happens immediately.
Yeah.
You get that little buzz going, mm-hmm. and it makes me sleepy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it helps me go to sleep when it's not normal.
So you're not taking the melatonin and the alcohol.
Oh, I'm taking the melatonin too. But
That's probably not good for you.
It starts the process of being tired.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't really want to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
I'm starting to get immune to my melatonin.
Oh,
like
you are.
10 milligrams doesn't really do it
well,
anymore.
Well, you know what?
You need to up it.
I realize why Michael Jackson took Propofol.
Right. It's hard as hell to sleep.
You just wanted to drift
off.
Well,
I was waking up every 45 minutes, and I had a huge headache, and I couldn't figure out why. And I don't think I drank a lot of water, but who knows? So I immediately woke up and took a bunch of Advil this morning. And I'm swearing off alcohol for a day. See if that works.
I need the room to be the exact temperature. I need the fan going.
Yep.
I need melatonin.
Now listen, this is not medical advice.
You need sleep aids.
But I follow. You like to push the weights around. I follow a bodybuilder, and he takes melatonin. He takes 60 milligrams.
Ooh, that's
kidding.
A big dose.
Now he's a big guy. He's like a legit bodybuilder.
That's like for an elephant.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared. I'm scared to go over 10.
60? Yeah.
He takes 60.
No, I've taken 10 before. I don't take 10 anymore. I can't do that because I don't know. I just, my heart starts to do weird things.
Oh, really? You feel that?
Yeah. It's just, I feel weird when I take too much of it.
You kind of feel your head ticking a little bit.
Yeah. I just don't feel well when I take too much of it. So I only take the 5 milligram.
Maybe I
max out at the 5 milligram. 2.5 milligrams actually will put me to sleep, but 5 I'll top out at.
Maybe the 10 milligrams and the 2 gin and tonics was just asking a little
too much.
That's
probably too much. Yeah. That's probably too much.
Wasn't it different than the night before?
Mm-hmm. Now, as poorly as you slept and as fitful as it was, at least you got some sleep. Because one of the guys behind the glass,
yeah,
Cody Betts, he pulled an all-nighter. He pulled the real, true, dyed-in-the-wool degenerate move where he had, I believe, like an online course that went to like 11 o'clock last night. I don't know what course he's taking.
Didn't you feel like going to bed?
Here's what
that?
He felt like doing. Why don't you explain to the audience, Cody, what you felt like doing instead of sleeping?
Yeah, I figured after class ends at 11, I would have to shower or whatever and then lay down. It's midnight. And then I would get 4 hours of sleep because I got to wake up at 4.
Yeah.
Might as well go chase the dragon.
Right.
Go see some flops.
Oh, unbelievable.
There you go.
That's my guy.
Pull an all-nighter, try to hit a high hand. I don't know. Start the day.
At like 2:30 in the morning, you weren't tired?
No, I was all good.
You were juiced. And then how many tables were running? One?
Probably 20.
What?
Yeah. Oh, there's some degenerates.
You don't understand. The place is You're packed kidding. With degenerates, EB, at GM National Harbor.
When I used to go to Vegas on a fairly, once a year, we would pull all-nighters.
Yeah.
And even at, like, the Mandalay Bay or MGM, there would, in the middle of the night, there'd be one table going.
Cricketville, right.
Cricketville. Right. Maybe two tables. There's 20 tables going?
They have 8 going right now.
That is unreal.
That's 6 in the morning.
The Bad Beat's over 100,000.
So people, that's why. Now, hold on. Now, what are they playing? Is it 1-3-2-5? What else?
Maybe do some PLO.
It's probably a 5-10
You don't sit down
game.
At the PLO game,
no.
Do you? That's the way to go instantly busto.
Yeah, I lose enough money and no limit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Do you play 1-3 or play 2-5?
1-3, but I've dabbled a little bit in 2-5.
Just 2-5, like he's a 1-3 number. Yeah, he's a small fish.
But 1-3's fine. I mean, you could play big pots in 1-3.
Oh, big pots.
Yeah.
Big ones.
When people are, what are they preflop raising, $20 on average?
15 to 20.
Yeah, 15 to 20.
They can get in that range.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's not a 1-3 game.
The craziest part about this is that he's working a double shift. Right. So he's not just going home and passing out after this show.
Right.
He's working B. Mitch and Finley.
Do you have a Coke problem?
Yeah, but he's young.
A guy in the bathroom did ask me. He looked at me and said, "Hey, you do the stuff?" I said, "No."
Right.
Was he asking you for it?
I think maybe.
Or he was maybe just going to give you a bump.
But yeah, but like, do I look like a guy that's holding that type of stuff? Like,
no.
What's going on here?
I just don't know how you can pull an all-nighter.
To be young.
Because he's 24, 25.
That's what it is. When we were that young, we could do it.
People were tagging
me.
Well,
I did it in Vegas, remember, and I broke out in shingles.
Don't you remember?
I had a big line.
No, you did. You did. But don't you remember when we were doing the shows in AC at the Borgata and the B-Bar, and I pulled the all-nighter? I was playing blackjack until literally the start of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do that now. I would die.
I love those days so much because you would just come in and start handing out money to people or like free rolling us for the Junkies Poker.
I did
open.
That one time. I did.
Or just give me $100 to do like an Irish car bomb at 7 in the morning.
Yeah,
and it was a beautiful thing.
I do miss those Borgata shows. It's all within the same family, right?
Correct. Borgata is a sister property.
We can still pump up Borgata a little bit.
Sure, of course we can.
I love the Borgata.
But my point is, those are the days when we could pull it all. I can't pull an all nighter now. No way.
Oh, yeah. Cody was trying to rope me in, like, "Hey, why don't you come join me, Cakes, pulling all-nighter?" I was like,
"There's
doing
a million things Cakes would rather do.
You're doing a young man's thing, a young man's bit, playing poker all night.
I think Cakes could do it. I think Cakes could pull an all-nighter for poker.
Cakes loves flops.
Yeah, he loves it so much.
I love them
so much. It's
like
his fourth child.
But I would, as soon as I was done the flops, I would want to scurry up to my hotel room.
Right, like right now, if I had pulled an all-nighter and I was in your seat right now, that would be hell on earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how tired I would be.
He's jittery already.
Well, remember when you stayed up for the game 6?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
You were pummeled the next day.
I was during the breaks. I was going like this.
I don't know how you did that.
And I just because I wanted to see Giannis. I got for about 15 minutes. I got sized for Giannis.
No, I know what Giannis looks like. I don't need to stay up till midnight.
I know.
I was
just stupid. Felt like it was kind of like history. I should be up for it.
Cody, why don't totally you tell
there's no sporting event that I will during the week that I will stay up for I'll DVR it and watch in the morning. There's not one sporting event that
I would do it if the Caps were deep in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I would do it, or if the Wiz are playing for the NBA title, which
I'm not saying I haven't done it, but I wouldn't do it from now going forward. Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
By the way, I've noticed on Monday and today, Cakes has this weird love affair with Cody.
I do.
Well, he does. No, he loves him. Yeah, he loves him.
He loves him. Cody is his favorite.
Cody is his favorite. He has the poker bond.
He used to like me.
Are you feeling a little bit neglected?
I'm a little bit neglected because me and Cakes have the same brain.
Yeah.
And we share a lot of similarities.
Same brain. We're sharing coffee every day, Valdez. But now he found
new buns.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And listen, Cakes doesn't let that many in. He doesn't have that many friends.
Yeah. You know what it is?
I keep the circle tight.
Cakes can have Cody climb the friend ladder very quickly.
Oh, well, he already has. I would say Cody is already up there in Mikeyville, Farleyville. That's about it.
I don't know if he's in that territory yet.
He's getting there.
He's ascending. Cakes would hang out.
Cakes would hang out with Cody outside of work.
Yes. Well, at the Borgata.
He doesn't really hang out
with anybody.
I mean,
outside.
I'm not going to go watch him coach baseball. I mean, but we might hang out and watch Flops together.
Yeah, Cakes would invite him for a home game.
Well, those are very few.
I'm just saying that he would.
Yeah,
possibly.
I'd like to get a home game.
I have to give EB his chips back. I still have
you. Still have my chips.
I still have your chips.
Why did I give you my chips?
Because I had the last home game pre-COVID.
Yeah.
All right. I had the home game at Mikasa.
Can I have my chips back 18 months later?
I'll ship the chips.
I'm not the only guy that has like real chips.
But I did notice that Monday and today, Cakes lights up when he sees Cody.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that what it is?
It's a different expression, right? Yeah, he definitely used to do that. But it's a different expression when he sees Cody instead of Linnell.
He's my poker brother in arms. He hasn't warmed up to Linnell yet.
I mean, he likes Linnell, but not this.
Linnell's here. He's just working for Sheehan
like
this morning.
Linnell,
is that right?
I had a crisis of conscience yesterday.
Oh, yeah, listen to this.
Post show. Because Linnell came on the air yesterday and told us his tale of woe about having to hop on the Metro to get here and spend the night on the world's most uncomfortable couch in the green room.
I'm still stunned he doesn't have a car.
So stunned I heard that and I felt bad for him. I was like, man,
Were you thinking about giving him a car?
No, I'm not. Come on, let's not get crazy. I thought of offering him a ride home because that's kind of close to where I live. He lives in Germantown.
Yeah.
It's kind of close to where I live.
Not really that close.
It's another 20 or 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I did the cost-benefit analysis of offering Linnell a ride
home. Erred on the side of selfish, right?
The benefit was he doesn't have to go on the Metro and rely on public transportation. He saves a little bit of cash, and I feel better. I feel better about myself slightly.
So why don't you just give $5 for the public transportation? That's like a compromise.
I didn't think of that option.
Yeah.
Then I thought of the cost to me of driving Linnell home, and that cost to me is a little bit of extra charge out of my electric vehicle, first and foremost. Two, it adds 50 minutes to my commute.
Easy.
50.
25 minutes each way.
Right. So I did the cost-benefit analysis.
And you decided not to do it, which is...
That's a good life decision.
He walked right past them.
Right past Linnell as he was buying food from the food trucks with all the construction workers.
Oh, my God.
And I thought about it for 5 minutes, but then once I got to the split on the... On the G-Dub Parkway, I had forgotten about it.
Correct.
At that point.
Oh, sure.
I had already processed things and moved on with my life.
Yeah, thinking about
but
self.
I felt bad for a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, trust me, it was fleeting.
Right.
I didn't carry it with me all day. Once I hit my nap at home, which would have been delayed had I driven Linnell home, I was good.
Now, did Linnell sleep here last night then too?
I don't know.
I probably need to because he's working for Kevin.
He's working Sheehan.
And he's got to be here early. He's got to get on the Metro the night before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, overnight as
well. He probably
slept
on the couch.
That is a hurting sleep. You know what?
It's a terrible sleep.
He's got great work ethic.
He does.
See,
what should have happened was JP should not have gone home from the show early yesterday. He should have stayed. And since he lives closer to Linnell, he could have offered him the ride home. And I would have felt much better about what transpired.
Yeah, JP left at 8.
But again, I've processed it, and I've gotten past it.
Right. It never really occurred to me to drive him to Germantown.
Well, I'm sure it never really occurred to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pain in my ass.
It occurred to me for a fleeting moment or two.
Yeah.
But then
I'd rather give the guy a car than drive to Germantown.
How does a guy not have a car?
I don't know.
Like, get him a hoopty.
I mean, he's 23. I mean, time to get a car. You could get a car for $2,000.
Hit up one. We got 100 car dealers. Hit up my man.
Yeah, hit up any of our guys.
Mike Walker. We'll go to the used car spot and we'll just give him some hoop.
Yep.
I mean,
hit up Anthony Woods. By the way, we were talking about the 50-50s yesterday. Anthony Woods sent me a picture. Who's the GM at Prior to Toyota in Springfield. That's my guy, right?
Yeah.
He sent me a picture. He was at a Las Vegas Knights game.
Okay.
Hit a 50-50 for $20,000.
Oh, wow. Sent me the picture. You're breaking Cakes' heart now 2 days in a row.
I mean, it's devastating news for me to hear that and to hear about, what was the woman's name who called
Patty.
Patty who called in, and she dug into her pocket and found $5 and won the 50-50 at the Nats game.
Look at that picture. $20,000 check.
Meanwhile, my new best friend and I, Cody, we put $40 in the kitty a few weeks back. We got nothing. We got squadoosh.
I'm wondering if I shouldn't start dabbling in this 50-50.
Of course you should. Don't you want to sweat every game when the Nats are playing?
Yeah, but if I did it, I would probably nub it and just hope to get lucky.
No, you got to put in the 20.
You got to flood it.
You got to put it in the 20 so you get 60 swings of the bat.
Right.
You up your chances. You up your odds.
How much did he buy, did you say? Do you know how many tickets he bought?
Yeah, he bought a ton.
Oh, he did. He
probably bought 60.
He flooded it.
Good for him.
Yeah, but a hit, right? 20K.
Big fat winner.
God, that is
Cody, sick. Before we go, why don't you tell everybody how much you profited last night at MGM
Yeah, was it
National
worth
Harbor?
It?
Well, after about a 4 or 5 hour session, I made $4.
I
tipped the lady a dollar, so I made $3.
Very well done. Very nice. Well done. All right. But the all-nighter, again, that's for the young and the young at heart, not for the 50-year-old wackadoo DJs.
The other thing is, I know we got to go break, but when you're playing an all-nighter on like a Thursday night, you know, in like D.C., you're not really getting a tourist or like some real drunk. You're just probably getting a grizzled vet that sits there all night, every night.
Well, Cody said 15 minutes before he left, an ATM sat down at the table and was just basically going in, all in, every hand,
at
with
5
like,
in the
trash.
Morning?
Yeah, at 4:38 when he sat down.
So that did happen.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. I mean, he called all in with 2-3 offsuit.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Just dumped $200 in the pot.
Was
just
he donating. A pudgy guy with a Russian wife?
Yeah. We have a Nats jersey.
Number 21 on the back. All right, it is a Friday. That means Kevin McCarthy, he's going to join us, not later in the show, not like at 7. He's joining us next. He's going to tell you what to see at the box office. And John Feinstein is coming up at 8 o'clock for Fridays with Feinstein right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whenever you hear Pantera on the show, that means our next guest is Kevin McCarthy. He joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. He's the entertainment reporter for Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, John Cakes Auville. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Hopefully all is well with you. What is new at the box office that we might be into this weekend, Kevin? I think I might know what
Nothing.
You're
going to
lead. I know what you're going to lead with. I can guess. It's the M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong offering Old that I've seen a bunch of trailers
for. That looks really strange.
It looks pretty good, actually.
He's a weirdo. Does that dude still make good movies?
Well, we can ask Kevin.
Yeah. M. Night, so first of all, I think M. Night gets an unfair rap as a director. I think, so first of all, the movie that Cakes is referring to is called Old, but going back to M. Night for a second, I mean, you come out the gate with The Sixth Sense, right? Which is one of the greatest movies of all time. It's considered one of the greatest movies of all time, not even just by me personally, just in general. Mm-hmm. You know, that movie changed a lot in terms of twist endings, and obviously Unbreakable followed, and I think Unbreakable is really his masterpiece, and then Signs and The Village. And then I think people really started to latch on to this idea of what his twists were going to be, and like they would get angry if the twist didn't follow suit or it wasn't great enough. And I think The Village is kind of where people started tapping out a little bit. And I love The Village. I think The Village is an underrated film. I don't know if you guys remember that one. That was with Joaquin Phoenix. And so The Village had a really cool ending because, I mean, that movie came out a long time ago. So, I mean, I won't spoil it in case anybody hasn't seen it, but The Village was a very special film because I think that it today holds up even better. And I think that was Bryce Dallas Howard. And then later in his career, he did like films like Lady in the Water, which were not well received. I loved Lady in the Water. I thought that was a film that kind of took a spin on the twist idea and kind of knew the audience was expecting him to deliver twists and then didn't deliver a twist. So I think the twist in The Sixth Sense really kind of set audiences' expectations in a certain way, where if you come out the gate with one of the greatest movies of all time, it's really hard to kind of maintain that flow. So he's had these ups and downs in his career. He's done some pretty bad movies in the middle of his career, like Last Airbender and After Earth with Will Smith. But he kind of made a comeback with Split. Split was a really big deal because it was a sequel to Unbreakable. That was the twist at the end. It was a sequel to Unbreakable many, many years later. And then he did Glass, which was kind of, unfortunately, not a great film. So the question now becomes, to answer your question, does he still make great movies? I think he's always made great movies. He's just kind of hit some rough patches as a filmmaker. No filmmaker is perfect. So when it comes to old, this is a crazy concept. And Jason, you're spot on. It's a very strange idea.
Uh-huh.
So basically, a family is vacationing in a tropical setting, and they go to a beach. The resort at the hotel basically recommends this beach
Bung
to them.
Bung Bung Beach.
Bung Bung Beach is exactly the name of the beach they go to. I'm surprised they use that.
So it's not a real place. It's a fictitious place. It's not Hawaii or some tropical. Do they name it?
I saw the movie. I saw it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm trying to remember if they specifically. I don't think they ever tell you. I mean, it's possible they tell you in the beginning maybe where they're going from a geographical element, but the beach itself, I don't remember them telling us specifically where that was.
Right.
It's possible. It's been a while since I've seen it. But basically, they get to this beach and they start rapidly aging. You basically live your entire life in one day. So essentially, the beach has some type of power. M. Night Shyamalan's a horror filmmaker, so he plays around with this idea in a very disturbing way. There's some scenes in the trailer that you can kind of get a take on as to what they're going to do with people aging. Like, for example, if someone gets pregnant, you know, they're going to go through that 9-month cycle within an hour or whatever way that would be in terms of the time on the beach. So whatever timing the beach is giving you in terms of your life, you could literally get pregnant and have the baby within an hour. So it's a pretty shocking concept, right? So, you know, there's definitely some great ideas to play with. When it comes to M. Night, though, I think one of the big things that people, again, like I'll go back to The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, you're expecting a twist. You're expecting a reveal, right? So you want to know why. Why is this happening? Why are people aging this rapidly? Why are people dying this quickly? And so, in my opinion, without giving anything away, as that question is answered in the film, in my opinion, they should have done it a little earlier on. Like sometimes with the M. Night twist or the M. Night reveal, they'll do it right towards the end, and then you kind of like you deal with the revelation and kind of the movie ends. In this particular case, I think the revelation is so interesting that they should have explored it. They should have kept going with it instead of waiting till the end. Do it maybe midway through and then deal with the explanation. So to me, it's like,
what's
it's
he talking about?
Film.
Okay.
Talk about the film.
Hold on.
Old
Have
by
you,
M. Night Shyamalan.
You actually were not listening for the last 7 minutes.
when he just talks forever, I don't, you know,
he's giving Eric, back.
He's explaining
the movie.
Okay. All right. Am I
Eric,
the only
I'm a film
one
reviewer.
That can't lock in? Okay. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, Eric, at the end of the day, I mean, what I just said a lot of stuff, no question. But I also answered a question that you asked me, which was whether or not M. Night still makes good movies.
And I answered, say, yeah, you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but that's not as simple as that. Like, the guy has a really interesting career. Like, I feel like, all you know, it's going from The Sixth Sense to now, it's a long time, man.
All right. I'm sorry.
Don't get distracted. Just continue.
I'm actually interested in Old.
Continue with your review of Old.
You guys stare it in the face every day.
Yeah.
So basically, you're just dealing with that concept. So the film delves into some pretty wild body horror stuff. I mean, like, there is some wicked, wicked, nasty stuff happening within this film. It's PG-13. The camera work is incredible. I'll say as an audience member, and I don't know if this will make sense, but you can actually physically feel the aging. And I mean that in the way that the way M. Night shoots it and the way he edits it. Like, you actually physically feel their bodies aging. Like, it's pretty wild how he decided to shoot this. I'm torn on this film, to be honest with you, because it delivers a lot of things. It's ambitious. It's very, very well done in terms of acting and just editing and filmmaking. But then at the same time, I left the film wishing it explored a lot more. So I was slightly disappointed in terms of how the reveal went down, and I wanted more from it.
Is it long?
It's not that long. It was probably like an hour 40, hour 45. Right. I mean,
when I saw Quiet Place 2, I didn't recognize any of the actors.
Yeah, I mean, he usually has a pretty stacked cast, right? I mean, he's worked with everybody from Mel Gibson to Bruce Willis. The cast here is very good, but Vicky Krieps, who's like the lead mom in the film, she was in Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread. There's really nobody massive in this film. It kind of comes down to M. Night Shyamalan really being the star, right? Because he is the director. He's the name that we all know. He has his famous cameo in the film that, you know, we've seen all throughout the years, very Hitchcock style. I'm in a very weird place with this film because I don't hate it and I don't love it. I'm very middle of the road with this because I think there's so much here that is good, but then there's so much here that doesn't work.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this. Is there a twist at the end that makes it more interesting or no?
Well, that's what I've been saying is I don't want to specifically say there's a twist because I feel like people always say, well, why are you telling us there's a twist? It's more of a reveal, an answer to a question, right? So why are they aging so rapidly?
Once they give you that answer. They're morning radio DJs.
That'll do it.
That must be it.
That'll do it, Kate.
Is that the big reveal?
Yeah. I mean, do they take melatonin during the show, during the movie?
How many vodka tonics?
All right. By the way, Kevin,
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, that's poo. That's pooey.
I'm not going to see that. So you're a little bit on the fence. The LA Times is not on the fence. Here's their headline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Old review. M. Night Shyamalan's latest is a bonkers mess. So they're clearly not fans.
Well, it's kind of what I just said, right? Yeah. It's a bonkers mess. I mean, at the end of the day, the movie is insane, but it is a little bit messy. It's messy. It's definitely not executed as well as it could be based on the concept. So I'm coming at this from a perspective of, if you sat down in the movie and watched this film, Jason, there's no way you're not going to be wondering what's happening until the end. Like, you're going to be like locked in. The question then becomes, when they reveal it, do you buy in on that? Mm. And that's kind of what happened with The Village, is as The Village went on and on and on, and then they revealed what was really going on in The Village, people were upset because they didn't like the reveal. So when it comes down to Old, if you don't like the reveal, you're going to leave with a bad taste in your mouth at the end of the film. So it's one of those weird things where I feel like they could have explored the reveal a lot more. So I give it a 3.5 out of 5. I think it's an ambitious film. It's brutal. They pushed the PG-13, definitely. This is only in theaters. And listen, I respect M. Night Shyamalan. I always have felt a little bad that people just pounce on him. I think he's an ambitious filmmaker who takes risks. Not everything lands, not everything in this movie lands, but it works. To me, it worked. It just didn't work extremely well. It just worked. So I think it's worth seeing if you like his movies.
All right, in my opinion. So 3.5.
Three and a half for Old. What else is in the theaters this week, or what's coming up in the next month or two? Like, any big summer blockbusters with a ton of CGI that I would be into?
Yeah, dude, I'm all in on blockbusters with tons of CGI. But I mean, there's a big blockbuster coming out in October that they just released a brand new trailer for yesterday, which will have CGI, but it's also going to be done with a lot of practical effects. That's the Dune movie. which I'm very, very excited about. That's Josh Brolin and Rebecca Ferguson. And Jason Denis Villeneuve directed this. Like, you know, Prisoners, Sicario, Blade Runner 2049. I mean, Arrival, he's a phenomenal filmmaker. So this is going to be a big one in October. In August, there's a big movie coming out with Ryan Reynolds called Free Guy. So that's going to be a big one. It's kind of like a video game movie directed by Sean Levy, who also, you know, was part of the creators for Stranger Things. I also want to mention today Ted Lasso. Season 2 premieres today. And this is my, you know, next to the show Dave, this is my favorite show on TV. This is, I don't know if all you guys have seen Ted Lasso yet.
We talked about it yesterday.
I watched season 1.
I've seen season 1. Yeah. I love it.
Very good.
Is that Sudeikis?
Jason Sudeikis.
Do you know he's from Fairfax?
He is.
Did you know that?
I was not aware of that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I mean, I don't know how much time he spent here, but I think he's born and raised. Maybe not raised, but certainly born here. Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry.
Ted Lasso is amazing, and I think Ted Lasso in season one first hit. It wasn't a hit. Like, no one really talked about it. It wasn't until people found it kind of during the pandemic that it worked. And I don't know if you guys remember, because obviously you guys watch a lot more sports than I do. But these started off as NBC Sports promos. So Jason Sudeikis was doing the Ted Lasso character for NBC Sports bits. Like, they were doing bits about it. And then they eventually were like, you know what, we should create a TV show surrounding this. So the basic premise for people who aren't aware of it is he's a football coach in America who then is hired to coach English football, and basically goes over to England. And in that sense, he's never coached English football before. So he was kind of set up to do it, to kind of look bad, and he turns the team around and becomes a hero to the team itself. And that was season one. Season two, I'm telling you right now, this show is so emotional. It's so well done. It's so interesting. I'm not even finished with season two. I'm just kind of watching it along the way as well. But that's available on Apple TV Plus, in my opinion, next to the show Dave, which I bring up to you guys every week, which is the show with Dave Bird. It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm with hip hop. That's my second favorite show right now. That's on Hulu. So Ted Lasso's Apple TV. Dave is on Hulu. Those are probably the two best options for the weekend.
Hey, Kevin, three quick fun facts about Jason Sudeikis. Jason is correct, from Fairfax, Virginia.
But raised in Kansas.
Born there. Yeah. Two, his uncle is George Wendt, a.k.a. Norm from Cheers.
Oh, big Norm. All right.
And third, he can certainly work here at Odyssey in D.C. because he was born with anosmia, leaving him with no sense of smell. So he could walk in.
It wouldn't bother him.
He has no sense of smell. Jason Sudeikis. There you go.
Oh, that. Oh, my gosh. I had absolutely no idea he had no sense of smell. That's like blowing my mind now.
Well, that's according to Wiki. So who knows if you can fully believe
it.
But according to Wiki, he has no sense of smell.
Bickle believes everything on Wiki.
Yeah, right.
All right. So any cool interviews, or is that it?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, this weekend I have some big ones. I'm talking to The Rock and Emily Blunt on Sunday for the movie Jungle
Cruise. Emily Blunt's bald.
I love Emily Blunt. Obviously, Quiet Place 2 is great. And then I'm also the Suicide Squad, so I'm talking to Margot Robbie and a bunch of people from that cast. Joel Kinnaman, James Gunn, the director.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
That's my buddy. That's my buddy. Remember, I sent you that picture.
That
right?
is your guy.
I met him on the set of The Wire.
That's right. That's right. And so Suicide Squad, by the way, like, I don't know if you guys remember, a few years back, there was the first Suicide Squad film, which was not great.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Eric loves superhero movies. But yeah, this one in particular wasn't great. This new one comes out August 6th on HBO Max. And theaters, and it's incredibly awesome. It's rated R. It's brutal. And John Cena, he's great in it too. So there's a lot of great cast and
great
for that film.
Kevin, thanks as always. We have to run. He's at Kevin McCarthy TV on Twitter.
Have a good weekend.
Everybody confuses him with the other Kevin McCarthy, and he loves to
love
do
you guys.
That. He loves to do that bit back and forth with them on Twitter. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
See you guys. Papa Squeezy Rick. See you, Papa. Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about an NFL quarterback who lost weight during the offseason but still is getting body shamed for not losing enough weight, apparently. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. John Feinstein will join us at 8 o'clock in just over an hour, as he does every Friday. So a couple of days ago, Adam Schefter tweeted out a picture of Ben Roethlisberger as he's reporting to training camp. And here's what he wrote above the picture. Mm-hmm. Steelers reported to training camp today. Here is a lean, mean Ben Roethlisberger showing up for his 18th NFL season. And, you know, he's just walking in. He's got this.
He's a big dude.
Looks like a scowl, borderline scowl on his face.
Well, remember we did the story that Ben is dedicating himself to fitness for his 18th season.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
So keep that in mind.
Well, they say that, yeah, he's totally changed his diet. You know, so you're expecting to see somebody look super slender.
Yeah.
But he's a big dude, so he doesn't look super, super slender.
I just don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's gonna walk in with like a 32-inch waist.
He's just
like,
got that big body. That's just the way he's built.
What he is.
Yeah, that's the way he's built.
But I will say, I did see a side-by-side, and if I could find it, we could put it out on our like Junks Radio Twitter or whatever, where he did look slightly thinner than maybe a year or two ago, mm-hmm. Where he's still a big dude, but you see the face is a little thinner, and it looks a little leaner, a little. Because remember, he is a big, big guy. So for him, probably losing 10 or 15 pounds, it's probably a big deal.
I know he's
probably hard.
I know he's kind of douchey, and I know he's not the best guy with the media, but he's just getting assailed like in the comments by people. Like,
what are they saying?
Yeah, you know, people are like, if that's lean and mean, then I'm lean and mean. And
yeah.
They just use.
Well, he does this bit where he's wearing a thin shirt.
Yeah,
and a man of his size should not be wearing some super thin.
Thin shirt is your enemy.
Super thin cotton,
right.
Tight T-shirt.
Clingy.
Yeah, ask Sean Kemp.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know.
I think he looks good.
I think he's just wearing a T-shirt.
He just doesn't care.
You know what? Steelers fans shouldn't care either. As long as he's throwing touchdowns to Juju.
Right, or Chase Claypool.
Or Claypool. You're right.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find the photo of him walking in juxtaposed with a photo of him like 2 years ago.
But I also think we're at peak like body shaming of American culture. I think 2021, I've never seen more body shaming than we have in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of that going on. And Big Ben just happens to he's caught in the crosshairs of it. There's nothing he can do about it. It's just the way people are in 2021.
Yeah.
Love the body shame. A lot of body shaming. And he's catching the flack.
Well, you know, part of that deal, it's kind of along these lines, not really necessarily body shaming, but remember we did the story of the Norway handball team that refused to wear mm-hmm. the cheeky bikini bottoms. And listen, as I said and I tweeted, and I am team cheeks all the way. But you shouldn't be forced to show your cheeks. Right? If you should only do that if you want to do it. And so I think it's unfair that these girls have to wear these skimpy outfits, and I don't have any problem with them protesting it. I support them 100%. I just know as a parent of two volleyball girls, I feel bad for these girls. All they do on the volleyball court between points is pull their shorts down. That's what every single girl that plays volleyball does.
But why are they because so short?
I don't know. It's just the nature of volleyball. They don't. You would think they could
volleyball
wear,
shorts have always been really, really
super
tight and short. Yeah,
and both my daughters, and I've been watching volleyball now for like 10 years, and it's not just my daughter. It's every volleyball player that plays volleyball, and dads out there listening, and girls out there that play volleyball, they can attest to this. All they do after every point is pull their shorts down because their cheeks are hanging out. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So I feel sympathy for these girls. Mm. But I have to admit, I've stumbled onto this woman. The Daily Mail did a story, and this woman, I could tell she was into this. One of the reporters, she decided, did you see this? She decided that she was going to wear all of these skimpy outfits and go play volleyball with her cheeks hanging out. She was going to go play tennis with her cheeks hanging
Where's
out.
Where's this story? It's right up my alley.
Daily Mail. I'm going to put it in the hangout right now. And, you know, it's obviously a girl that's very comfortable with her body, and she's an attractive girl. There's no question about it. But they say brave female writer dons the women's skimpy beach attire. Here, I'm going to put it in a hangout, and you guys can check it out. And She's no model, but she's obviously a fit woman, and props to her, I have to say. I think she looks pretty good in the pics. So I put it in the Hangout. You can click on it. And then I look, I say, you know what? This girl, she likes attention. She did a bit where she wore a Kim Kardashian monokini about 2 years ago, and she put that out there. So she likes to get kind of skimpy and show off her body a little
bit. She's like a way more in shape Rom. She's like the Norwegian Rom.
She likes her
ADs. She likes the attention.
She's a fun girl. She looks like she's probably in her early 30s. You know?
What we should do is we should juxtapose Rom's beach picture when he's actually in shape with her cheeks volleyball pic.
Do you see? She's shooting baskets. Right. She's playing tennis. She's, what else is she playing? Soccer, field hockey, and, you know, it's like a fit girl just putting her ass out there, team cheeks, and she's analyzing which sports are where it's appropriate.
Right.
And she actually said that in volleyball, the bikini makes the most sense. Okay. Because when she was wearing, like, the more bike shorts... The longer,
more restrictive.
You get sand everywhere, and it's just kind of a nightmare. But that the bikini bottom seemed to be the most appropriate for beach volleyball. But the other sports, she said, like in tennis, when she was returning serve, all she could think about was her cheeks hanging out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But do you see the images?
Yeah.
I studied every one.
Yeah, of course.
I zoomed in. Yeah.
And by the way, she's doing the bit where, like, she's putting her hands on her knees and kind of poking her butt out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think more journalists should go the extra mile.
Well, look what I put in the chat. Do you remember that journalist, Jen Tisdale?
I don't remember that name.
We've talked about her.
Oh yeah, she's the one that did. She's the one that did the porno. Yeah, sure. She's local.
Yeah,
she's like a B-list comedian. I think Danny knows her. I think Danny's done stand-up with her.
They've done bits together?
Yes. And believe me, I've seen that film.
Yeah. Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Oscar.
Is it good?
It's the godfather of pornos.
It's kind of hot because basically what you have is you have like a regular girl that she answered a Craigslist ad.
I think I've seen this before.
Yeah.
We talked about
it. Yeah, that's a very piece of it. I remember it now.
Yeah.
She answered
this.
Like a Craigslist ad, like who wants
Craigslist.
To... be in an adult film,
Craigslist.
And you know she's kind of a wacky girl, and she was like, "Sure, I'll
Craigslist
do it."
Craigslist ads. Craigslist.
She said, "Sure, I'll do it." She shows up and she meets that dude, like famous dude,
James Dean. I think he's got a couple issues.
They walk around
now.
New York City for a little bit, and an hour later, they're smashing.
Yep, I do remember that one.
And she signed the release and everything. But then when all those allegations came out of him like being a little rough with girls, then she all of a sudden she trashed him and she regretted it.
How old was that?
That was about 5 years ago.
That was in 2013.
Oh, it was that long ago. Eight years ago. Look,
like yesterday.
The porn world, one of the few industries seedier than the radio biz.
Yes.
we're just a tad bit higher on the totem pole.
We rank a little bit higher.
Right.
Just a tad. Maybe a half rung higher on the ladder.
So then I was like, this writer, this Haley Richardson, who wore all the skimpy beach attire and all the sports to see, you know, which were more restrictive, if they affected performance at all. And then I saw that she tried a Kim Kardashian monokini and was working out and then like imitating all the Kim Kardashian. So she's clearly an attention whore, as we were talking about. Then I stumbled on, she's retweeting stories of girls that are like bleaching their privates. Like, this is a horny girl, this Haley Richardson. She has one friend who bleached her...
Silly. Yeah,
I understand.
No, not the silly.
I know.
The naughty
place. Oh.
And then she liked it so much, they did another article where she went in on a lunch break and she bleached her silly.
I'm certainly not doing that during my lunch break.
Listen
today.
To this. What a great wife. She said she did it as a gift to her husband.
Really? Oh.
After two children, she wanted her husband to still be sized.
He must have rang the bell.
So he rang. I bet he's got a bell.
Yeah, he rang the bleach bell.
He's got a bell.
Apparently, he does.
And she said she never had a complaint. She just wanted it to be silly again. And it made it silly.
I guess.
I'm so glad my daughters don't listen to this.
Who knew? Yeah, you're probably probably better served.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you gonna do? I got daughters. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, you could say it. I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah. Well. Anyway.
I guess they're not listening either, so.
No.
You know what most normal people are doing? Sleeping.
Correct.
They're sleeping at this point.
You know what, I conclude from that? If you're a chick, bleach your silly for a present.
That's a great present,
That's
right?
That's the move. That's the go-to.
Hey, it's a gift for both of you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about something less embarrassing than bleaching your privates.
Yeah.
It's a more serious issue. We'll talk about the NFL's COVID protocol for the upcoming 2021 season. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.